please stand in body or in spirit. And direct your attention to our baptismal font for a thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Amen. Joined to Christ in these, the waters of our baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over these waters, and by your word you created the world and called forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family through the sea. Through the sea, you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By your water and your word, you claim us as sons and daughters, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains all life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit. Shower us with your Spirit. And renew our lives with your forgiveness, your grace, and your love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for the and forever. Let the congregation say Amen.
Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion, in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Daniel, the 7th chapter. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up from the sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 147 responsively with me. And I always get these happy ones, so let's read with enthusiasm. Praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful.
Let Israel be glad in his favor, let the children of Zion rejoice in their King.
Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, he adores the humble of his
Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people. To execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from Ephesians, the 1st chapter. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Lord, you, O Christ.
This is a sermon from Jesus, a sermon on the plain. And before he gives this sermon, he's up on a mountain with his disciples, and he chooses 12 of them to be his apostles. Then he comes down the mountain. He stands among the people. He says this. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward will be great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. This is when the sermon gets really, really difficult. Trust me. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is most certainly the very difficult gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. How y'all feeling after that one? I preached a sermon on that once this year, and I guess I either have to preach a sermon on this or whatever that was from Daniel, and I'm not touching Daniel today. So we get this one. Ken Fuson. Who here has ever heard of Ken Fuson? I will be shocked. No? Oh, that's what I figured. Well, Ken Fuson died January 3rd. 2020 at Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. He begins his self-penned obituary. Didn't know you could do that, but I'm thinking about it. And he's stunned to learn that the world is somehow able to go on without him. That's a good start. In 1981, Ken landed his dream job working as a reporter for the Des Moines Register. But in 1996, he took the principled stand of leaving because the Sun in Baltimore offered him more money. Remember, he wrote this about himself after he died for everyone to read. 3 years later, having blown most of that money at Pimlico Racetrack, he returned to the Register. I wonder who here would be so bold as to write an obituary like this one about themselves. Guess what? Me too. And I've got an outline. Pastor Sean should never have been a pastor. It's a good start. Just ask around. I mean, seriously, ask those who knew me in high school, and then in college, and then at that lighting factory where his fluent four-letter vocabulary was unrivaled. Ask those people. Just ask his wife, Andrea, who, quote, what was that again? Didn't marry a pastor? And you did call me an idiot more than once. Or you could simply have asked Sean. He would have given you the many, many reasons. One of which was this morning over at the other church, I couldn't remember how the Apostles' Creed started. That's your pastor. Shortly after he was ordained, Pastor Sean got a tattoo on his wrist. His mom, she hated tattoos. So guess what? She never acknowledged this tattoo, even though his niece, Kelsey, blurted, "Sean, when did you get a tattoo?" upon first seeing it at Easter dinner when she was sitting right there. She still did not acknowledge the clearly visible tattoo. It's a tattoo that reads, "Simul Justus et Peccator." Anyone read Latin? Anyone ever listen to any of the sermons I've given, that would give you a clue as to what this one is. Simultaneously justified and a sinner and a saint. I talk about this one a lot. The obituary concludes, "Pastor Sean's service is scheduled to start at 2 p.m., but he's expected to show up late to his own funeral." That got a big chuckle at the other church where I showed up 45 minutes late to a council meeting last month. Oops. We find, as I said, Jesus on a mountain. He's praying all night. When morning comes, he surveys all the disciples that are there, more than 12, by the way, and then he names 12 of them to be apostles. He probably should have stuck with 11. You know why, right? Anyway, then he prepares himself to deliver what I will call his second most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Plain. He decides that he's not going to use a pulpit for this sermon. There was a mountain right there. There is no place, high place, for this sermon that's going to set him above and apart from all the riffraff, from all the sinners. Not for this sermon. He comes down among all the people. Jesus came down with the apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people. Another reason he shouldn't be a pastor, he can't talk. From all Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him, to be healed and to be cured, and he came and he stood among them. Once among the people, Jesus preaches a tough sermon. I would say an impossible sermon. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Seriously, Jesus, come on. These are the impossible demands of an impossible sermon. Now, In true Lutheran form, I am going to say that these impossible demands shouldn't be mistaken for a checklist, things that we must go and do and check off in order to earn Jesus' favor and blessing. Rather, Jesus is saying, and in speaking these words, he is saying this. What I am saying right now is a new way of being. It is a new way of being in the world, and it is his way of being. Jesus is speaking this new way of being, into the here and now, as only Jesus can. But importantly, he does not do so from high on a mountaintop, away from the people. He is not far away and removed from us. Because this is a new way of being. It is his way of being. It is Jesus' way of being that has him, Jesus Christ, at its very center. So he goes to the only place he can, to the center of the people. In coming among us, in standing among us, Jesus not only speaks a new way of being into being, he embodies this way of being. Because he does not hold us, the troubled and the unclean, the lost and the broken, the sick and the sinful, he does not hold us at arm's length and away from him. No, he comes and he stands among us. He names from the gathered broken apostles, he names disciples. And he does this knowing that standing in our midst is a dangerous thing. It is a dangerous thing. He does this knowing that we, like that 12th apostle, we will betray him. And if you say, I would never betray him, let me know how many of us live in to his sermon on the plain. We will gather someday with a bloodthirsty mob, and we will make our own demand that are counter to his demands. Our demand sounds like crucify him, because after all, his radical demands for a new way of being are just a bit too radical for us. You know how I know? Listen to that sermon. Jesus, though, he embodies this new way of being, loving and praying for those who will revile and hate him all the way to the cross. It's an embodied way of being. This new way of being, this impossible way of being, it breaks into being when Jesus steps into our midst and takes on that cross, when Jesus declares and dares to stand with the riffraff like us, with sinners like us. And now Jesus, having been crucified, resurrected, and ascended, he does not stand in some faraway place above us, looking down upon us, making note of every four-letter word uttered, making a list of all those enemies that we continue to hate, even though he told us not to. At least I hope he doesn't do that, and I think you probably hope he doesn't do that too. Jesus remains among us, embodied in us, and that is the body of Christ. Yes, a body of Christ made up of us. Sinners, all of us, riffraff, imperfect, far from saints, we become a body with Christ at its center, the body of Christ. The tattoo that adorns my wrist, Simul Justus et Peccator, simultaneously sinner and saint, justified and sinner. I didn't get this tattoo only to annoy my mom, although that Easter dinner was kind of funny. Don't tell her. She's probably going to listen. She'll be mad. She'll get over it. This tattoo serves to each day remind me that though I am a sinner, I am nevertheless invited into this body, Christ's body, just as we all are. And if any of you need a reminder of that, I can give you the name and number of a good tattoo artist. Otherwise, just remember the sermon. Each of us, we take our own place in this body, sinful saints, all of us. And this is a gift freely given that we all in this place and beyond this place, beyond all time and place, share. It is the most precious gift that stands as a blessing to this world right now and today. This is not a gift that says, if you do all of this really hard stuff that I told you in that sermon on the plane, you know, you remember that one, that really hard sermon, that impossible sermon, then you'll go to heaven. And oh, by the way, if you do all of this stuff, the world might be a better place to live in too, which it would be if we could live into that sermon, but we can't. And that's not how this gift works anyway. The promise of the gift comes first. The promise of the gift came first. When Jesus stepped into our midst, he embodied this new way of being by embodying an impossible love and grace and mercy all the way to the cross. We therefore no longer stand separate from him. We no longer stand separate from one another, serving the impossible demands of an impossible sermon. We stand transformed, a communion of sinful saints, one body with Christ embodied in us. This transformed body, Christ's body, it does something. It takes on a unique character. It's not my sinful character. It's not your sinful character. It takes on the character, at its best times, it takes on the character of a gracious and a loving God. It is this body, then, this communion of saints, that shows up in the midst of a broken and sinful world, into the midst of poverty and hunger and weeping and hatred. And yes, it is a body that loves and prays for our enemies. This is what it is to embody the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. It is not a demand. It is a new way of being. It is a new way of being that shows up in some very dangerous places, in some seedy places, in some broken places. So, of course, it's a new way of being that shows up in the midst of a destructive gambling addiction. Back to our friend Ken. For most of his life, Ken suffered from a compulsive gambling addiction that nearly destroyed him. But his church friends, the loving people at Gamblers Anonymous, they never gave up on him. Ken last placed a bet on September 5th, 2009. He died clean. He hopes that anyone who needs help will seek it, which is hard, and accept it, which is even harder. Miracles abound, says Ken. Says Ken's pastor, God can work miracles for you and through you. Skepticism, it may be cool, says Ken, but for too many years I was a skeptic. It was faith in Jesus Christ that transformed my life. That was the one thing I never regretted. It changed everything. I don't know Ken, but he was a sinful saint. Beyond the grave, he continues to witness to Jesus Christ. I don't know Ken's pastor, although I did read this obituary closely. His pastor was Lutheran, so of course I'm going to agree with what his pastor said. Well, I don't agree with all Lutheran pastors. I don't even agree with me most of the time. Your pastor would add, and I do agree with this, God works grace and love and mercy for us and through us, this body of Christ. Sinners though we may be, through Christ our lives are transformed. Sinners become saints, become this body, the body of Christ, because Jesus stands among us. Ken Fuson, a sinful saint who died in Christ, stands witness to the transformative power of Jesus Christ. He stands witness to the power of the body of Christ and this new way of being. All Saints Sunday is a celebration of this body of Christ, a celebration of the communion of saints, of the Kens that we know, of the Kens that we knew and dearly loved, who continue to witness to us and to this world long after their death. It's a celebration of all the Kens who we have never met and we never will meet, of all the Kens who are yet to come. On this day, above all days, we are reminded that as one body of Christ, as one communion of saints, we are all lambs of his own flock, sinners of his own redeeming. This is some very good news. My dear siblings in Christ, this is the promise. This is our blessed assurance. This is the new way of being, a way of being made known only in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And I also want to recognize, I guess it would make him my first cousin once removed, but my mom's first cousin, Fritz Sayre, is right there with his wife, Debbie. And we share some of the same saints. Edison, his father, was my grandfather's brother. So as we come forward later, I will invite you all to light candles, and I'm sure there will be some similar candles lit by us for some saints. Anyone else want to introduce themselves as guests since I've opened it up? Most people usually don't. At this time, we will remember all the saints who have gone before us. Kevin, you're going to have a part of this. All the saints who have gone before us. Today we will read the names of those saints from this congregation we have lost since we last gathered here for All Saints Sunday. Following the litany, we will ask the loved ones of those whose names we read to light a candle for their loved one. I will then invite everyone else to come forward as they are moved to light a candle for the saints that have gone before them in the faith. I ask that each of us only lights one candle, but you can think of as many names as you would like. Please join in a call and response of this All States Saints litany. We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham to Sarah, to Paul and Phoebe.
Ancestors of faith, we remember you.
We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone before us in our lifetime.
Family of our faith, we remember.
We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents, nieces and nephews, and friends whose lives ended too soon.
Those close to our heart,
we lift up to you, O God, the names of those we have lost since we last gathered in this space for an All Saints' remembrance, knowing that they are with you, are within our hearts forever. As we read these names, we will pause after every name to remember, pray, and give thanks for their lives.
Fred Sargle. Barb Keys. Dahl Cass. For all the other family members, loved ones, and friends we have lost since we last gathered for an All Saints remembrance.
We celebrate the lives of those we have named, O God, and lift up many more names within our hearts.
Together we say, Family of God, we remember you, and we honor you.
We know you are with us in the spirit of worship, and you will not be forgotten.
We give you thanks, O God, for all who have gone on to join with you beyond this life. We trust in the hope of the resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ, and know that in our grief and celebration, O God, you both grieve with us and wipe away every tear from our eyes. We are comforted with the blessed assurance brought forth by your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom love lives forever, and through whom we pray.
Amen.
This time, I invite the loved ones of those whose names we read to come forward, or I can bring a candle to you. You will come to us. Okay. Time I invite.
I invite you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Please stand in body or in spirit. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Gathered with one voice, we offer our prayers for the church, for the world, and all who are in need.
God, who guides our ways, give the world's leaders, voters, and those seeking election both humility and respect for the dignity of all, reminding us that all people are created in God's image. Accompany local election workers and community volunteers here in Galleon, in Crawford County, and in all polling places across the nation. Increase and sustain your justice both in this place and to the ends of the earth. Hear us, O God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of comfort and troubled times, we pray for those in need of protection and care, especially Jean, Joyce, Chloe, those on our long-term homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Trusting that you are constant in mercy, protect those who seek safety and solace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God, who welcomes us home, we remember your saints, Fred, Barb, Dahl, and those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Let us trust in the peace and promise of the resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We offer these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your grace and unyielding love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace. I'm going to have to ask everyone to keep their Ohio State, Michigan talk to the end of the service. Church related. We just don't need any fistfights, okay? We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. Got it dirty.
pray with me. God of healing and hope, you bless those who are hungry, promising to fill them with good things. Fulfill that promise through us and these your gifts. Nourish us with the abundance of your feast and unite us into the blessed body of Christ Jesus, our Savior, now and forever. Amen.
Kathy, I'm sorry, but I'm going to laugh at that 10 out of 10 times. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the witness of your saints, you show us the hope of our calling and strengthen us to run the race set before us, that we may delight in your mercy and rejoice with all the saints in their glory. And so, with Fred, Barb, Dahl, and all those we have lifted to you today, and all the saints of all times and all places, with the choirs of angels and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to this table where all are welcome, where we commune with all the saints. And for everyone who is not familiar with how we do communion here, you are invited to come forward through the center aisle where you can pick up a cup that is empty. And as you gather around the rail, it will be filled for you. If you prefer grape juice, don't grab a cup, and we will provide that for you up here. my favorite and yours, our annual meeting is next Sunday, the 195th annual version of that meeting. If you went last year, you still have to go this year. It is next Sunday after church. Please plan on attending. There are many other announcements in your bulletins, and I trust that you will be able to read them. Any other announcements this morning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Samaritan's Purse.
Samaritan's Purse, yes. That is due 2 Sundays from now, so you can grab boxes from back there, and there are instruction booklets on how to fill them. They do not yet look like boxes. They are flat cardboard. You have to fold them. Anyway, seeing and hearing no more announcements, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
This is our story. This is our song.
Go then.